title of the sermon for today is Wellspring of Life, Wellspring of Life. And the passage is from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. King Solomon writes, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." And God's people said, see, I just need to do some recap. The last few weeks, I've been focusing on the theme of the Holy Spirit, And the first sermon was from first and second, last Sunday's sermon was from John chapter 7. It talks about the work of the Holy Spirit as rivers of living water flowing within us, you know, flowing from within us. And so, you know, the first sermon was living water with the theme of the Holy Spirit. And last Sunday, to keep that theme, was baptism of the Holy Spirit and the importance of waiting, And today, I want to continue the theme of the Holy Spirit. King Solomon described now our heart as a well to hold the water. And NIV says, "For everything you do flows from your heart." Okay, everything you do flows from your heart, and it is from our heart. It's like a well. You hold the water, and the water flows, you know, out of the well. And in the Bible, the water is very important. Especially when it's related with the work of God, when it's related with the work of the Holy Spirit. The water in the Bible is mentioned 722 times. and from here and there, water represents the work of the Holy Spirit. And in Scripture, when God's people were in trouble, it say there's plague, you know, there's oppression, there's apostasy. There's a prophecy of water, pools in the desert, you know, flowing stream, and God's going to cause rain to come. And the prophecy of water is about God moving. It's a movement of God. And so you see in the Old Testament, Ezekiel 47 is talking about this water flowing out of the temple, And, you know, it's ankle deep, but then more water flows out of the temple. So there's knee deep and goes to the waist, covers your head, and it continues. And it becomes a river that comes out of the temple. In the Ezekiel 47, it says, the river is so wide that no one could cross. And it's representing God flowing out of the temple because it says, the water enters the Dead Sea and turns the salty water into the fresh water. And in Ezekiel 47, it says, wherever the water flows, there is life. And, you know, when you go into the New Testament, it makes us understand more because the Bible says you are his temple. Say that to your neighbor. You are his temple. And God flows in you, through you, and flows out of you. And the heart is very important. And what is the heart? You know, this is my understanding of the heart. It's your thought, your mind, your emotion. It's all together, okay? Your emotion, your desire, your imagination, your will, your, you know, memory, your consciousness, your creativity. It's all those things in, you know, together, you know. That's the heart. That's your heart. Okay? Different words to describe the heart is, you know, human spirit, the inner person, your personhood, and the Bible mentions your soul. Okay? I believe heart and soul is related to one another, your soul. And in the Old Testament, God dwells in the temple. Okay? And in the New Testament says, you are God's temple. So God dwells in you as a Christian. Okay? God dwells in you as a Christian. And interestingly, in the Old Testament, when it would describe the temple, and in the temple, there's the most holy place called the Holy of Holies. And the Bible says it is in that Holy of Holies, in the temple, that God dwells, in the most holy place. And in my opinion, that holy place is your heart. Okay? Is your heart. And Solomon says, your heart is the wellspring of life. It is in your heart where God dwells. It is in your heart where you connect with God. This is where God works in you, prepares you, transforms you. It is where the Holy Spirit fills you, overflows, empowers, and moves you, okay, and transforms you. But at the same time, it is in your heart where you face spiritual battle. It's not on the outside, it's not in the visible, but it is in the hidden realm. Yeah, I don't know where my heart is. I can't see it. It's in the heart. So it is in your heart that you're gonna face spiritual battle, where spiritual battle takes place. So, spiritual battle, Christians, you need to understand, spiritual battle is a battle for your soul. It's a battle for your heart. That's spiritual battle. So God moves in you in your heart. At the same time, the devil attacks you in your heart. Huh? Attacks you in your heart. That's why Jesus says the devil comes, a thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come to give you life. I have come to give you life. And King Solomon wrote, this is what King Solomon, above all else, guard your heart. Guard your heart. In other words, your heart is so important. It's so important that you take care of what's going on in your heart. You can't lose the battle. You know, with your mind, with your emotion, with your will, what's going on in your heart. You have to prioritize your heart. That's what King Solomon is saying. You have to examine your heart. You have to win the battle, spiritual battle that's happening in your heart. You cannot forget your heart. You know, for example, parenting. Okay, we got a lot of parents here. And if I talk, say, in this church, you'll say this. Oh, it's truth. Parenting is important, right? Parenting is very important. But if your heart is filled with fear, your heart is filled with anger, your heart is filled with bitterness, you will not be a good father. You'll not be a good mother, right? Does that make sense? Right? The Bible talks about spiritual gifts. When spiritual gift is good, the Bible says, it is important. But if your heart is not right, if your heart is not right, you will abuse the spiritual gifts that God gave you. If your heart is not right, you will use spiritual gifts not to serve others, but to use others. You will use the spiritual gift, if your heart is not right, to lift up self instead of lifting up God. Ministry is very important. Okay? But if your heart is filled with ambition, your heart is filled with just a lot of hurt and bitterness and selfishness, you will use ministry to build your own kingdom and not God's kingdom. Okay? Not God's kingdom. And I could go on and on and on, you know, different areas of our life. If our heart's not right, it's not going to work. From the life of King Solomon, okay, here's the thing about King Solomon. It is easy to preach and teach that we need to guard our heart. because that's King Solomon wrote that, you know, that passage. But it is so hard and difficult to practice it. It's very difficult to practice it. Why? King Solomon didn't practice what he preached. If you study 1 Kings chapter 11, okay, you know what the Bible says about Solomon? Solomon's heart turned to other gods. Solomon's heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God. Solomon's heart was not devoted as his father David has been. You see, the difficulty when it comes to our heart is easier to judge others than look at our own heart. It's easier to see fault in others and not be self-aware of our own weakness. It is easier to preach to others, guard your heart. You know, guard your heart. And from my own life, right, I see it is far more difficult to guard my own heart. It's so much easier for me to preach to you, guard your heart. And so difficult Monday to Saturday to guard my own heart. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. This is Apostle Paul. And he's writing to the Corinth church. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters, when I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, the Holy Spirit power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. And God's people said, Apostle Paul was showing the Corinthian church what was in his heart. I believe this passage is his heart message. Okay? It's his heart message. And what was in Apostle Paul's heart, you know, to the Corinthian church? He says, I did not come to you to show how great I am. I did not come to you to show how gifted I am. I did not come to you to show my learning and my knowledge. What he's pretty much saying here, I am here that you will encounter the power of the Holy Spirit. That's all I want. That you encounter the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you know scripture and you study the book of Acts and you study Apostle Paul's teaching, Apostle Paul's epistles, right? He wrote most of the New Testament, you know that, Apostle Paul, right? And if you look at what the scripture says about Apostle Paul, Paul had great teaching ability. Did you know that? He wrote the book of Romans, some of the deepest theology in the New Testament, in the book of Romans. Right? He wrote it. He wrote the book of Romans. So he had great teaching ability. He had deep biblical insight. He had tremendous leadership skill. He was leading hundreds of churches in the New Testament, in the New Testament churches. He had unshakable faith and courage. He understood spiritual thing more than anybody else. He understood spiritual gift more than anyone else. And God used Apostle Paul to do great miracles. Okay? Great miracle. What was in Paul's heart? You know what he was saying to the Corinthian church? Not to show how great he was. But Paul came in weakness, with great fear, and with trembling. Why? Because what was in Paul's heart was this, to show God's power his human power. That was the great desire in Apostle Paul's heart. You need to see God's power, not me. And this was the problem with Corinth church. It's a problem that we have in many churches, and I pray that this is not a problem that we have at Catalyst. Because the Corinth church was very impressed with human power. Read the 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. They were so impressed with human power. That's why when Apostle Paul wrote about spiritual gift in 1 Corinthians 12, he's talking about there was division in the church because they focus on certain giftings. Right? Corinth church, what they did, they wanted gift that gave them more platform, more visibility, more applause. And they thought certain gifts were worthy and certain spiritual gifts were unworthy. Some were saying in the church, this is what Apostle Paul wrote, right? Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body. Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body. But Paul teaches the Corinthian church the heart of God for his church. God's heart when it comes to spiritual gift. This is what Apostle Paul writes. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. What he was saying is everyone in the church has different spiritual gifts. Every gift is important. Every member is important in the church. Amen? Say to your neighbor, you are important. And the Corinth church had another problem. The church was divided by groups, not just because of spiritual gifts, but they were divided by groups who were impressed with different people. In the church, there was a group that says, I follow Paul. And there was another group, well, yeah, I follow Apollo. Another group, I follow Peter. Right? And Paul tells the church what was in his heart. Okay? I don't want to focus on human wisdom. I don't want to focus on image, human position, human accomplishment, human standards. What he says is, this is my heart. I want to focus on God's power. Not what you can do, not what I can do, church. Focus on what God can do. If you're impressed with human power, you're impressed with, like, you look at yourself, what I can do, and you look at others, what others can do, here's the problem. The door is wide open for the enemy to discourage you and stop you, and it will be very easy for the enemy to stop you. For example, if you're very impressed with yourself, and this is what I found, this is human nature, okay? If you're very impressed with yourself, with your own power, the enemy only needs to bring one person who will not like you. And it's, you get all shaken. If you're very impressed with yourself, the enemy needs to bring only one criticism, one incident where you look foolish, where people find out your weakness, and you'll get discouraged, and you will even give up. If you're easily impressed with others, and you look at, wow, their ability, their gifting, and their influence, if you get impressed by their position or what they have and what they can do, you will easily get stumbled. Again, why? Because they're not perfect. They will fail. They will not meet your expectation. I had a friend in college who was not a Christian, and I would share the gospel with my friend again and again. You know, And he would always come up with the same argument. You know what was that one argument that he had? You know that why he won't become a Christian? He said, this is what he said. The crusade. The crusade. You know, all the crimes that the Christians committed on Muslim 800 years ago. The crusade. And I didn't give up on him. You know, then what he said? The TV evangelist. They're all crooks. If you get too impressed by others, you will easily stumble. You will easily stumble. Paul says, don't be impressed with me. Don't be impressed with Peter. Don't be impressed with Apollo, who was very gifted in preaching. Apostle Paul says, be impressed with God. Be impressed with God. For example, think about Apostle Paul, what he was kind of, your sin. Apollos can't take care of that. He's saying, I can't take care of that. Your shame, your condemnation, your guilt. God forgives you. God cleanses you. He paid the penalty for your sin. God redeems. What about our past pain, rejection, neglect, abuse? God heals and he restores. What about spiritual attack? The Bible says God sets us free. He strengthens us. And in Christ, we are more than a conqueror in Christ. What about purpose? Well, God gives you, you're not an accident. God gives you spiritual gift. There's a calling on every Christian. There's a destiny and a purpose that God gives to every Christian. Yeah. Again, I just want to, John chapter 10, verse 10, you know, in our heart, I said, there's a battle that's going on. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have, Jesus says, okay, don't look at what the devil's doing. Focus on what God is doing. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. And God's people said. I want to talk about the charismatic movement. You know, when you go into the charismatic church or groups, there's a lot of emphasis on manifestation. There's a lot of manifestation on manifestation, like shaking or falling or even speaking in tongue. And this is my view, because it's my view on manifestation. This is my view. Holy Spirit can move any way he wants. Why? He's God. He can do whatever he wants to do. I am not afraid or offended by manifestation because God could do whatever he wants to do. And like I shared a couple weeks ago, when God touches you, when God moves in you, yes, some people fall, some people shake, some people, you know, I was praying for my mom, you know, for healing. And I lay my hands, and a couple days ago, I prayed for her back. The muscles, she was bruised. You know what she said? I feel heat. I feel this heat. And praise God, it wasn't me. She was healed. The pain disappeared. The pain was healed. Right? But she said, I felt heat. Right? And that's Holy Spirit. That's what I believe. It's Holy Spirit. When Holy Spirit touches you, a lot of people cry. Okay? A lot of people cry. Some, you know, people, there's a joy that fills their heart. Some, they laugh. Some, again, there's people here, when the Holy Spirit touches you, you can't tell because, it's like this quiet, quiet touch. You don't show it on the outside. But if I asked you, did God move in? Yeah, I felt this peace in my heart. That's the Holy Spirit, this quiet conviction. And it's okay. It's good. Okay? Some see pictures. Some, they get verses. Some feel, They feel the presence of God, his power. They feel God's grace, his love. Again, God is God. God can do whatever he wants. He is God. But the focus is not on the manifestation. Hello? Right? The focus is our heart. That's the focus above all else. Right? Focus is our heart. Is your heart ready? Can you hold what God is doing in your heart? Is your heart soft? Is your heart clean? Is there an idol in your heart? Is there a sin that controls you in your heart? Does Jesus reign in your heart? Is Jesus the Lord in every area of your life, in your heart? So the focus is not to be impressed by yourself or others, but be impressed with what God can do in your life and the life of others. I want to talk about gift of tongue. I taught this before, but there's so many more new people I need to teach again and again. I want to talk about the gift of tongue. And there are different people in this church who has the gift of tongue. I have the gift of tongue, and there are people who do not have the gift of tongue. And it's okay. It's okay. But I'm sharing you my heart about gift of tongue. Okay? It's so hard to discern. You know what I'm saying? Somebody has a gift of tongue. Is it from God? Are you faking it? You're just gibberish, saying some gibberish stuff that anybody could do? Okay? I have that question. And this is scary. What if it's from the devil? Right? Come on. You guys thought that too. Right? I'm not the only one. I'm not the only one. Right? You must have thought that too. Right? Gift of tongue. It's one spiritual gift that people could fake very easily, in my opinion. Right? Could fake very easily. Other spiritual gift is not easy to fake. For example, gift of teaching. Okay? Gift of teaching. You yourself might be so deceived. I have the gift of teaching. But everybody else will know that you don't. You can't fake it. Or you could fake it to yourself. But others will know. And that's how it is with a lot of other spiritual gifts. Others will know if you have it or not. Right? But gift of tongue is difficult. Right? How do you discern if it is from God or for yourself? It's from yourself. It is very hard to discern from just listening to it. Right? And what about if it's, people are afraid? What if it's demonic? Right? And honestly, I experienced two times where I felt the gift of tongue was demonic. One was in Cambodia. And when you hear the gift of tongue, everybody could discern that it was demonic. Right? When it's fleshly, a lot of time we use the spiritual gift, like the gift of tongue. Right? We use the spiritual gift for attention seeking. That's fleshly. Some meetings, in charismatic meetings, somebody's preaching, they'll get up, and they'll just speak in tongue. That's so rude and very disruptive. And fleshly, it could be very disruptive. But in Cambodia, when this person was speaking in tongue, there was a spiritual atmosphere that changed. You felt empty. You felt like this dark cloud coming over, and everybody could feel it. So in Cambodia, I thought, stop! I never stopped it. Other time, I stop speaking in tongue. Ministers come and just pray. They'll take him, to a room and just minister to him. But gift of tongue, how do you know if it's from God? is hard to discern by just listening to it. How do you discern that? You discern by looking at their life. Hello? You look at their life. You could tell the fruit by their, if it's from God, by their fruit. Is they have gift of tongue, is their heart transformation? Is did their heart become softer? Is there more love in their life? Is there more joy in their life? Do you see greater freedom in their life? That's how you tell. Hello? Right, this is how you tell. It might take a little time, but this is how you tell. There are those who seek manifestation without fruits in their life. That's not Holy Spirit fruit. Because the Holy Spirit says, the Bible says fruit of the Holy Spirit is there's more love, there's more joy, there's more peace, there's more patience, there's more kindness, there's more goodness. If you don't see that, that wasn't the Holy Spirit. Okay? That wasn't the Holy Spirit. But fleshly. When God touches you, there's more fruits in your life. That's a good way to discern. Amen? Now, Moses, he was the prince of Egypt. Okay? As a prince of Egypt, can you imagine the greatest country of that time, the richest country of that time, and he was the most powerful country of that time. And Moses was the prince of Egypt. And as a prince, he had worldly position, status, money, human power, influence, you name it. He had it. And most would think, okay, we would look at that, we're impressed with, okay, human being, right? Wow, now God could use you, Moses. God could do great things to you now. You have power, you have money, you have influence, you have, this position. And he did try, and he failed miserably. Right? We say, now, as a prince of Egypt, with your position, riches, and influence, as a prince of Egypt, God can use Moses to set God's people free. But he didn't. He failed. And what did God do? God takes Moses away from Egypt and into the wilderness for 40 years. 40 years. And even though Moses, after 40 years, even though Moses didn't think he was ready, because what happened in the 40 years is he got humbled. He really got humbled. He thought he wasn't ready, but God said, you are ready now. After 40 years, Moses was ready to become God's leader and God's deliverer. Why? I believe it's because in that 40 years, Moses' heart was prepared, and after 40 years, Moses' heart was ready. Was ready. And my question that I throw out, challenge that I throw out to you and to myself. What heart preparation is God doing in you while you're in the wilderness? Right? What preparation is God doing? What is he highlighting that's going on in your life, in your relationships, in your mind, in your emotion, in your family? In your heart, what is God highlighting about your heart? Huh? Young people here, if you want to get into, we all know this, if you want to get into good college, right, you have to have good grades. We know this. high SAT, high ACT grades. You got to do a lot of activities in school. You got to do a lot of volunteer work. You got to take honor classes. You got to take AP classes. And, you know, when you fill out the application for the college, you got to have very unique essay, you know. You can't be just like everybody else. All right? That's a qualification to get into a very good college. You know, very good college. The kingdom of God is different. Right? The kingdom of God is different. The kingdom priorities are different from the world. It's different from our own desire a lot of times. The kingdom of God prioritizes your heart. Your heart. That's why David's father couldn't discern what God was doing. He brought the number one son, muscle, and strength, looked handsome, you know, looked like a king. God said no. Second son, he looked like a king, you know, tall and handsome. No. Third, no. Four, no. Five, no. Six, no. Seven, no. And Samuel said, is there anybody else? And five, not him. Not my young, you know, not David. And when David came in, the Bible says, God doesn't look at things like the world. The Bible says he looks at the heart. He looks at your heart. Let's spend some time, you know, listening to God. What is he highlighting in your heart? Sometimes that's the scariest thing to do, is the one thing that you want to run away from. When God highlights my heart, first reaction is I want to blame somebody. Somebody else's fault. But I just want to get depressed. No, no. When God highlights and you could discern what God's highlighting in your heart, this is a very special time. When he highlights something in your heart, it's not to condemn you. It's not to crush you. Is to redeem you, is to transform you, is to change your life. And God's people said,